Jai Rama.
So before I begin, I'd like to say that it's very nice to again be back at Chapati, Shishirada Gopinath. Many wonderful changes has taken place here. Renovation of the temple is most beautiful. More smiling faces here. Mercy of Radhanath Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Also, I'd like to congratulate the devotees here at Chapati for having such a wonderful marathon and wonderful year. They're number two in the whole world for book distribution. That's very nice. Now you just got to become number one. That'll be nicer. And I think number three in the world for the year. Number two for the marathon. It beat Juhu. Good. But now they're going to be fired up to beat you next year, so look out. Prabhupada liked transcendental competition. One time he wrote a letter I forgot which story it was. But he wrote, it was a competition between Tamal Krishnamaras and Jayatirtha at that time. And he said that if Tamal Krishna loses, I think he'll have heart failure. So Prabhupada liked the competition. So I wanted to congratulate you and thank you for being so enthusiastic. Radhanath Swami, of course, had a lot to do with that. I heard he was going out himself on book distribution. That must have been a big inspiration for everyone to see your guru out there distributing Prabhupada's books. Such a wonderful example for our whole society. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a statement by Narada Muni to the Pachetas. He says, Dayaya sarvabhuteshu santasya yena kenava. He said, Krishna can be very pleased by doing three things. Very quickly, he can be pleased by doing three things. First, dayaya sarvabhuteshu, having compassion on others who don't have Krishna consciousness. This is the first point that Narada Muni makes. That we should have compassion on others. Of course, this temple is famous for this mood of compassion with so much college preaching. But I was listening to a lecture one time of Radhanath Swami, and he was speaking to the college preachers. And he said, with all the college preaching you're doing, you should understand that book distribution is more important. I was like, wow. I was amazed to hear that, because so many devotees are coming to Krishna consciousness because of the college preaching. But I was thinking that the book distribution is more important, because more people are introduced to Krishna through book distribution. The preaching is great. So many people actually become devotees. But the amount of people that you reach is much greater by book distribution. I mean, I think everybody can agree with that. So I think this is what he was meaning by this. That, you know, a lot of people won't become devotees by the book distribution. Some will, of course. But at least they're getting introduced. They're hearing something about Krishna. So it's very, very auspicious. And last year, actually, throughout the world, we had the most successful book distribution in the world for the past 10 years. So we haven't done as big as we did last year since 1997. So the whole world is picking up again this mood of getting Srila Prabhupada's message out to the people. So it's very auspicious, and I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is very pleased. It's pretty ironic that after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, very short time after he left, preaching stopped because there are so many factions. There's different gurus that were trying to become the guru, and then it became court battles. And Jayapataka Swami told me last year, he said that the court battle is still going on from 1940. Yeah. So it's amazing. So the preaching stopped very shortly after he left. And these people, many of them were born into Brahmin families, and they were nice devotees, but they gave up the preaching. But after Prabhupada left, still the preaching is going on. What is it now? 31 years. And most of the devotees in ISKCON, they're in Malechas, eating the cow, just doing all nonsense. So, just every essential activity, practically. But they continued distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is pretty phenomenal. It's pretty amazing. We're very fortunate to be under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And we should try with great enthusiasm to continue giving this shelter out to people throughout the world. So since I said that verse, I'll say the other two, although the main point was preaching. So, daya sarabhuteshu santasya inakenava. If one is satisfied in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna is pleased. Because we know there's so much, this is Maya's kingdom. You know, so much opportunity for illusory pleasures out there in the world. But if someone is satisfied simply by chanting Hare Krishna, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, by associating with the devotees, Krishna is very pleased. And the last one is to treat others as you would want to be treated. Krishna is very pleased by that. Because we all want to be treated in a nice way. Nobody wants to be treated in a harsh way. Right? So we should treat others the way we would want to be treated. And Krishna is very pleased by that as well. I think it was the Pachetas that were associating with one another in such a nice way, such a brahminical way, that Lord Vishnu appeared and explained that I've come to give my darshan to you simply because I'm pleased with your dealings with one another. Amazing, huh? He was so pleased just by their sincere association with one another in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is very pleased by this as well. So these are three things that we should try to imbibe in our life. Of course, this is already going on here, but it's always good to be reminded a little bit. So now we'll start the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakasipu's Plan to Become Immortal. Text number 34. Anantavyakta. Anantavyakta Rupena. Yenedam Akilam Tatam. Chit achit chakti yuktaya tasmai bhagavate namaha. Anand. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who in His unlimited, unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies, and the mixed energy called the marginal potency, which consists of all the living entities. Purport. The Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies, Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shuyate, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests this material world. The internal potency manifests the spiritual world, and the marginal potency manifests the living entities, who are mixtures of internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of para and paraman, is actually internal potency. But because of being in contact with the marginal energy, he is an emanation of the material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of God is above the material energy and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. Interesting. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhuta. The last sentence here is kind of interesting. Prabhupada says the material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes, of Krishna's pastimes. Interesting. Because generally we understand that the material world is here for the living entities to come and try to enjoy separate from Krishna. But from this last sentence, it is not only that, but Krishna, he comes and he also engages in his pastimes, as we know, in Vrindavan, in Dwarka, so many places Krishna performs his pastimes. So this is the real reason that the material energy is there, so that Krishna could engage in his pastimes. But also so that we could fulfill try to fulfill some desire to be Krishna, kind of an unusual desire. Like Hiranyakasipu, he wanted to be Krishna. He wanted to kill Vishnu, first of all, and try to have that position of the Supreme. A very powerful personality, but has no chance in battling with Vishnu, as we're going to see in the future in this Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we see how Hiranyakasipu, he's trying to be immortal. It's kind of ironic that he's trying to be immortal, but actually he's already immortal, because the soul is eternal. The body is just a dress for the soul, as we hear in the Bhagavad Gita. Najayate mriyate vagadachan. That the soul, for the soul there's no birth, there's no death, there's no stoppage. The soul cannot stop by any arrangement. Nainam chindanti sastrani, can't be destroyed by any weapon. Nainam chindanti sastrani, nainam dehati pavaka, na chainam kriyantyapo, na shoshiti marutaha. It can't be destroyed by the wind, by water, by the weapon. So many things that are very powerful in this world, but none of these things can destroy the soul. It's like recently in America, we had a huge tornadoes. Actually, there was about 300 tornadoes that covered about 4 states. And these tornadoes, they went through some cities and just flattened houses. Just flattened cities. You know, many people died. So wind is very powerful. Vayu. Therefore, Bhima. He is the son of Vayu. And Bhima, you know. Don't mess with Bhima. Very powerful. You know, very strong. Incarnation of the wind god. So, but the soul is so powerful that nothing can destroy the soul. So this process of Krishna consciousness is to come to the realization that we are the soul within the body, that we're not the material body. As soon as we think that we're the material body, then immediately we become attracted to the material world. Right? And as soon as we realize that we're the soul within, then we're not attracted to this world anymore because we're not of this world. I was distributing books recently at a university in Southern California, and one student came up to me and he said, "Do people believe in aliens?" I said, "Oh, yes. As a matter, do you people believe in aliens?" Aliens. I said, "Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, you're an alien." So am I, and so is everybody here. We're all aliens. Yeah. We don't belong here. We've come from another planet. Yeah. Much better planet than this planet. From Goloka Vrindavan, from Vaikuntha. And so I said, actually, the goal of life is to come to this realization that we don't belong here. We're spirit. We don't belong in this material world. And that's what this book is all about, the Bhagavad Gita, is how to become purified of the contamination that makes us think that we're from this world. So I said, "Oh, very interesting book." So then he took the book. Another person, just a couple of days before that, he came up to the table. And he asked, "Oh, what is this all about? What are these books about?" So we asked him, "Well, do you believe in God?" And he said, "No, not at all." I said, "Okay. Have you ever made a mistake before?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, do you think you could possibly be making a mistake in this case?" "I suppose." I said, "Okay. We've gone a step higher now." Now he's an agnostic, right? So I said, "Well, one of the reasons that people don't believe in God is because they don't see God." It's kind of reasonable. So I asked him, "Have you ever seen a thought?" "No." "Do thoughts exist?" "Yes." I said, "Okay, here's something that we know exists that nobody has ever seen." So this is subtle energy. A thought is a subtle energy. Yeah. So God is known as that person who is the most subtle. So he said, "All right. But still, you can't prove that God exists." And I said, "No, actually, I can prove to you that God exists. But the problem is you're not qualified to understand the proof." Just like if you're a professor of advanced mathematics, and my level of math is on the first level, you know, very little, and you ask me to solve an equation which is from advanced mathematics, it's going to be impossible for me to answer the equation because I'm not qualified. I said, "Okay, I accept that. So what's it all about? Faith?" He said, like in a cynical way, "It's just faith." Yeah. I said, "Well, faith is some of it. Just like you're at this university and you're studying to get a degree and you have faith that if you get that degree, that sheet of paper, you're going to go out, you're going to get a good paying job, right?" I said, "Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I have faith too." "So we have faith in God, and you have faith in the university, right?" But then I said, "But the actual qualification, the main qualification for understanding God is that you have to have a sincere desire to understand. What is the absolute truth? Whatever it may be, you have to have a sincere desire to understand what is that absolute truth." I said, "Okay. How much do you want for the book?" He took the book, Bhagavad Gita. So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada's books, that it can actually reveal the absolute truth. And it can reveal so much. Srila Prabhupada, he said that An intelligent person will ask three things. Why am I here? What's the goal of life? What's going to happen at the time of death? So these books, they answer all these questions very clearly. The goal of life is to develop love for Krishna. To understand our position as insignificant spiritual sparks. Actually not so insignificant. Because we're part of Krishna. In the material consciousness, we're thinking that we're this body. But being this body is very, very limiting. It's very limiting. Because this body is very limited, right? But when we understand that we're spirit, that we're part of Krishna, then amazing things happen. Like Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in one purport, that as one advances in spiritual life, one enters into the mysterious region of transcendence. Beautiful little statement by Prabhupada. One enters into the mysterious region of transcendence. And we see that happens quite a bit, actually, within our society. I'll tell you a couple of stories in this regard. Shyamasundar Prabhu, you all know, Prabhupada disciple Shyamasundar Prabhu. He's been here many times. Wonderful devotee. He was telling me how in the early days, he probably told this story here. You might have heard this already. It's pretty amazing. In the early days, this when he was in the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, he was saying how they were getting the rent, by the mercy of Krishna. They didn't, they were, every month it was like, how's the rent gonna come? And finally, somehow the rent would come, and they were able to pay for the loft that they had, for the center that they had. So mysteriously it was somehow it was happening. But there was one month where they didn't have near the amount of money that they needed to pay the rent. So Malati and Samasundar were walking to the storefront, and all of a sudden they see $100 bills floating down the street. The wind is just pushing these $100 bills down the street, and they're going around grabbing these $100 bills. So Samasundar is like, "Thanks, Krishna." So this is amazing. And recently I was told about an incident that happened in Croatia. There were some devotees that were on Harinam. They were about 10 devotees. They would go along the coast of Croatia. And what's the body of water there? Who knows? Do we have any Croatians here? I forgot the name of the water there. There's some... What did someone say something? Adrian Sea. Okay. So they would go on this tour up and down the coast in Croatia. And they need Lakshmi to do this. And generally they would have enough to go through the summer. But there was this one summer that they didn't have enough. They had enough to go for a couple weeks, maybe a few weeks. But they needed more. So they were doing their bhajan. It was a sit-down bhajan with harmonium and instruments. And very attractive. So they sat down in this one town and they were playing. They had a little donation box out in front of the bhajan. So after chanting for about 45 minutes, one lady, there was a crowd of people gathered to watch the bhajan and everything. So it's very attractive and very melodious. So people were gathering around and watching and listening. So one lady came up in the middle of the crowd, and she had a rose in between her palms, and she was standing there like this. And the devotees thought, well, that's different. She's there with her pranams, and she's got a rose, beautiful red rose. So she was standing there for a few minutes, and then she came and she set the rose on the donation box. And then she left. 5 minutes later, some guy comes by and he puts an envelope on top of the rose. And he walks away. And the devotees are looking at the envelope, thinking, what's in that envelope? Yeah. So then after the bhajan, the leader, he opened up the envelope, and there was equivalent to $800. It was in Deutschmarks, but it was like $800 worth of money. So they were like, wow, thanks, Krishna. Yeah. So they very much appreciated that. So then they were able to do the rest of the tour. Next year, they were in the same town. They set up their bhajan. And again, there's about 10, 12 devotees. But there was only two devotees there that were there the previous year. Everyone else was new, and other devotees had other services they were doing. So after about half hour or 45 minutes, this lady comes up again in the crowd, same lady, with a red rose in between her palms. And the two devotees that had been there the previous year, they started looking at each other, and smiling, thinking, no, this can't be happening again. So then she stood there a few minutes, and she came over, she put the red rose on the donation box. Sure enough, on cue, the man came by, put an envelope on the flower, and then left. And again, there was equivalent to $800 donation there. So they were thinking, oh, what are these, demigods or something? So, this is the mysterious region of transcendence, Krishna makes all kinds of wonderful arrangements. It's like many of you have gone on book distribution, and you know, you experience this. You know, you're out there distributing books, and it's a hard time, and very difficult, and you're struggling, and then you start praying to Krishna, Krishna, please, I'm a nobody. I can't do this. Only you can do it. Please, please help me to be an instrument in your hands. And then miraculously, some person comes by and, you know, gives nice donation, takes books, and then so many people are coming. So this happens actually on a daily basis sometimes with book distribution. And this is why Srila Prabhupada, he very much emphasized the importance of book distribution. Because you go on a book distribution and you have a connection with Krishna. You have a relation with Krishna. You're interacting with Krishna on book distribution. Just like there's that statement that I am not in Vaikuntha, nor am I in the hearts of the yogis, but I am wherever my devotees are spreading my glories. So wherever we go out to preach Krishna consciousness, Krishna is there. So therefore, it's so important, not only for our own advancement, for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. You know, they're getting a chance to hear about Krishna. So it's very, very important. And this way, by this activity, Krishna will be pleased, and he'll bestow so much mercy upon us. Now, in this instance of Hiranyakasipu, Krishna is not very pleased because he wants to kill Vishnu, as we heard yesterday. But of course, as we know, this is not possible. Most people actually don't try to kill Vishnu, although there's an interesting thing that happened in New York City in 1967 when Srila Prabhupada was starting to get some success in the preaching there. 1967, there was one paper there called the East Village Other, and in this paper there was an article about Prabhupada, and he said that many people are saying that God is dead. But there's a Swami now in the south side of Manhattan who's saying that God is not dead. He's alive and well. And you can understand God. You can reawaken your relationship with God by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if you want to know more, you can go to a center. And they had the address there to a center. So this is what Prabhupada did. He came to let everybody know God is alive and well and having a good time. Krishna's always having a good time. As a matter of fact, there's in that pastime of Hiranyaksha, after he was killed by Vishnu, Lord Bor, it's described that he went back to his planet where there was a constant festival. I thought that was interesting. So we all like festivals, yeah? You have so many festivals here. So this is Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan. Constant festival. Never stops. Beautiful, huh? So this is the spiritual world. People have this misconception of the spiritual world that there's people up there, you know, playing flutes and God is up there and he's just like a gigantic scorekeeper. You know, people that are demoniac, they go to hell, and people that are pious, they go to heaven, and you know, God's just a scorekeeper. He's got this old beard, gray beard, and looks like he's probably got arthritis and needs a cane or something. But no, God is the most attractive person. And one of his names is Kautiki, which means that he has the best sense of humor. Krishna is very funny, very amusing. So, Srila Prabhupada, he's letting everybody know that Krishna is a wonderful person. Yeah. And we, as servants of Srila Prabhupada, should also try to help people understand how wonderful Krishna is. People aren't so much trying to kill Krishna, but they're neglecting. Just like especially here in India, a lot of people, they just try to forget. Or now they're going to the West a lot also. They're trying to forget Krishna. And so this is very unfortunate. And some people, just like there's so many Swamis here in India, they try to hide Krishna. They know about Krishna, but they try to hide Krishna. It's like so many Swamis have gone to the West. But they're all Mayavadis, without exception. Nobody came to bring bhakti, love of Krishna. And even many of the Swamis, they were amazed because they didn't think that if they tried to, you know, present bhakti that there would be any result. So they praised Srila Prabhupada because he brought pure bhakti, and so many people were embracing pure bhakti. And they were impressed. But there is actually one time when Srila Prabhupada also hid Krishna, believe it or not. This is another Syamasundar story. When Syamasundar and Melati were traveling around India with, I think there was about 15, 17 other devotees with Srila Prabhupada, they were traveling around and they were doing a lot of home programs. So they went to one home program, I think it was here in Bombay, actually, where the host, he gave little Saraswati a doll or a murti of Krishna. But it was an expensive murti. I think it was made of silver or something. So Srila Prabhupada, he thought this was too valuable for a little child, 4 or 5 years old, little, maybe even 3, I forgot. A young child. So he decided to give her another murti that wasn't so expensive. So when he did this, little Saraswati was out of the room. She was in another room. So she came into the room to get her murti, and she couldn't find it. So she's looking all over the rooms. Where's Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada said, is he under the couch? So he pointed to the couch, and Saraswati runs under the couch. Said, no. She looks back, darts her eyes back to Prabhupada. No, he's not here. Is he behind the pot? So she runs behind the pot. No, he's not here. Is he behind the couch? So she's running all over the place looking for Krishna. Then Srila Prabhupada started chanting, Hey Radhe Rajadevi Ke Chalavite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta, Sri Govardhana Kapa Parabhatale, Kalindi Vanye Kuta, Gosantavati Sarvato Rajapare, Kedar Mahavivalo, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo, Sri Jiva Gopalako. So this is the mood of the six Goswamis. That they were running here and there looking for Krishna. They weren't thinking, oh, I found Krishna. They were looking around. So this was little Saraswati. She was looking all over for Krishna. Couldn't find Krishna. So this is the one time, the only time, Srila Prabhupada hid Krishna. And the result of his hiding Krishna in this instance is that her devotion for Krishna was increasing more and more. Her attachment to Krishna was increasing. So the result of Srila Prabhupada's hiding Krishna was that one's attraction to Krishna increased. And the devotees that were observing this, they were amazed just to see Srila Prabhupada's interaction with little Saraswati in this way, in this wonderful, affectionate way, increasing her affection for Krishna. So this is Srila Prabhupada. He's always trying to increase the living entity's affection for Krishna. And so we're very fortunate to be a part of this ISKCON society by which we can increase our affection for Krishna and try to help others also increase their affection for Krishna. So I think class goes on to something like this. Is there any time for question, comment? Is there any question or comment? We have a question back there from one of our senior Vaishnavis. Is there a microphone? I believe there is. This Madhuji is a very famous book distributor. Distributed books many, many years in Los Angeles and other parts of the country.
Prabhu, I was just curious where this verse that you cited of Narada Muni, the three things that attract Krishna or please Krishna, who is he speaking to? Who is Narada Muni speaking to?
He's speaking to the Prachetas.
Oh.
And I don't know the exact number, but I can give it to you. Anybody know offhand where it is? I don't know offhand. But I can get it to you later. It's nice to know how to please Krishna very quickly. Because that's why we're here, right? Isn't it? We're here so that we can please Krishna. So by these three things, having compassion for others, Daya Sarabhutesu Santasya, being satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Because there's so many things that we can be doing out there. Isn't it? Bombay, this is like the sense city of India here. But so many of you are coming and you're hearing about Krishna. Krishna appreciates that. You could be doing so much nonsense in Bombay. Yeah? Mumbai. So Krishna appreciates. You know, just like one of the subtle psychological attractive features or attractions of a girl and boy meeting is that the girl, she's thinking that, oh, he could have chosen so many girls. but he's chosen me. Yeah. So it's like a psychological pleasure that, you know, he's chosen me. And similarly, the boy is thinking, oh, she could have chosen so many boys, but she's chosen me. So it's kind of course, it kind of boosts the ego. Yeah. So Krishna's also thinking, oh, all these souls, they could be doing so many things, but they come to me. Yeah. Of course, this is real ego. This is real ego. Krishna, actually, everybody should go to Krishna. So Krishna appreciates that. Yeah. So we're very fortunate to be attracted to Krishna. Yes, there's another question here. Microphone is coming, I think. Raise your hand so that they know it's coming to you. Yeah.
Thank you for a wonderful class. And this is again with regard to the Narada Muni's preaching to Prachetas, the second one, wherein you said that the Lord is pleased when, you know, one achieves a sense of satisfaction in one's life, spiritual life. Now, what I wanted you to elaborate this word satisfaction. And my doubt is, doesn't sometimes satisfaction also lead to complacency, which could be a hindrance in spiritual progress? So how is one to understand this concept of satisfaction without reaching this stage of complacency?
So we have to be satisfied without being complacent. Because there's this verse, you know, utsaha nischaya dharya, that we have to be enthusiastic. So we may be satisfied, but we also have to follow the instructions of all the Vedas. It's like here it says Krishna is pleased by satisfaction, but he's also pleased if we're enthusiastic. If we're satisfied and we're just like hanging out in the ashram or just hanging out, yeah, Krishna consciousness, you know, it's such a nice thing, you know, just enjoy, you know. You know, no pressure, you know, just lay back, take it easy, you know, just enjoy the spiritual knowledge, you know. No. We have to be very enthusiastic to serve Krishna. We shouldn't be enthusiastic to be satisfied and complacent. No, we have to be enthusiastic to serve Krishna. And if we're enthusiastic to serve Krishna, then we'll be satisfied. Otherwise, we won't be satisfied, actually. Those who are actually satisfied in Krishna consciousness, you'll see they're the ones that are enthusiastic. And the ones that aren't enthusiastic to serve Krishna, they're not actually going to be satisfied. So, enthusiasm is so important. Srila Prabhupada said that even if you're not enthusiastic, just act enthusiastic. And he gave the example of a car. Sometimes when a car can't start, you give it a push, and then it starts, you know, it starts going, right? So it's like that. Sometimes you're not enthusiastic, so you just act enthusiastic, you know, just do the motions, and then Krishna will inspire you to become enthusiastic. Otherwise, we won't be satisfied. Not possible. Because all devotees of Krishna, they're enthusiastic. All the pure devotees. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that if you have life, then you'll preach. Yeah. And he meant enthusiastic preaching. So this is very important. Enthusiasm. Utsaha nishtaya. Be confident and patient. And then we'll get the desired result. Okay. If there's nothing else, one more question. There's one right back there, and then we'll end the class. Keep your hand raised so that people know where it's going.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dhanwat Pranam. Thank you very much for that beautiful lecture.
Brahmachari. I'll take sannyas when Govind Prabhu takes sannyas. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was getting some questions last 2 days in my mind that if the soul acts in this body, in this material world, like I am holding this mic, I am speaking through my mouth, I am using my tongue to produce the voice. So how is the soul acting without body in spiritual world, and what would be its actions, and how the soul will act there? Mm.
Yes, the soul is very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. Even Krishna says, "What is it?" There's that verse. What's the translation? Some look upon the soul as amazing. Some speak about it as amazing. Some hear about it as amazing. And some of them, in spite of doing all these things, can't understand. So Krishna had a sense of humor. So the soul, the whole, not just the soul, but the intelligence and the mind and the senses, everything, it's just amazing. And you know what's really amazing? Is that the atheist thinks it's just a chance. That's what's most amazing. This body is so complex, you know, just like so many of us are trying to become pure devotees of Krishna. But we know the mind and the contaminated mind and contaminated intelligence are putting so many obstacles on our path. You know, so it's a very complex mess that we've gotten ourselves into. You know? So the example is given in the Bhagavad Gita purport, where Prabhupada says that the senses are like horses. Yeah. So the senses are pulling the living entity like horses, right? The reins is the mind. The intelligence is the driver. And there's a place in that pastime of King Pranjana where it says that the driver is the Paramatma, which is kind of more complete, because in the other one there's no God. So this gives a more complete vision of what's going on. So the Paramatma is the driver. The soul is the passenger. So just this will give you some idea of what's going on. You've heard this example before. Yeah, okay. So this is what's happening. So we have to nurture the intelligence so that we can guide the senses or the horses in the right direction towards Krishna. Right? Because the senses, you know, they want to do things. You know, just like we, you know, the karmis are out there, they're eating so much nonsense. So we also like to eat, but we eat prasad. And the non-devotees like to see so many things, just like movies. Movies are a big thing now. But we don't go to movies because we get contaminated. Because it goes into the eye and goes to the heart and contaminates the heart. So we don't do these things. So we have to guide the senses always towards Krishna. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagnam, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam, Brahmakarma Samharina. That one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which that which is offered is absolute and that which is accepted is also absolute. So whatever we do, whatever we offer, it's always absolute. We give out books about Krishna, we give out prasad, things that are food that's been offered to Krishna. We only give Krishna. Which is like we have a TV program here also, Gauranga Prabhu, right? So we have television, we have ITV also. So you can still watch TV as long as it's ITV or Gauranga Prabhu. And then we get purified by watching the TV. Otherwise, we watch this other nonsense, total contamination, especially now. Just like there's that statement. I think Radha Swami made this statement that what the Moguls could not do in 800 years, what the British could not do in 200 years, television has done in 20 years. Yeah? Destroyed the Vedic culture. Not completely. Things are still happening here. But
More so than anything, than the British, than the Mughals, television is such a horrible thing. It's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to society, because Maya, full-on Maya, is going right into everyone's home. So, very inauspicious. And it's going to get worse and worse. Now, even in television, in the newspaper recently, one devotee was reading the newspaper, and he said, now the general television that the average people watch, it's practically become pornography. It's just become just all about sex. And this is what everybody's attracted to. That's why it's all about just sex. It's become so degraded. So we're very fortunate to be under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada and this ISKCON society. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.